The epistle is from Romans, chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith, apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
506 years ago this coming Tuesday, Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg. In doing so, he was calling for a formal academic debate concerning the church's practice of selling indulgences, essentially declaring a person's sins forgiven if they paid some money. As it happened, the 95 theses provoked much more than a simple academic debate. The posting of these theses is rightly regarded as the trigger for the reformation of the church and the restoration of the true gospel, that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, on account of Christ alone. As important as Luther's posting of the 95 theses turned out to be, though, he may not even have written them except for an earlier personal turning point. Seemingly from his youth, Martin Luther had had a very keen personal awareness of his sin and guilt, and it terrified him. One of his hopes when he became a monk was that in the monastery he would finally be able to find peace for his troubled conscience. Yet though he struggled mightily to resist sin and to do only what would please God, and though he tried to confess each and every sin he committed, and though he spent hours in prayer and doing works of penance, his conscience would give him no rest. Luther was convinced that God is righteous and just. He also knew, without any doubt, that he was a sinner. Together, these two facts convinced him that he was in grave danger. God's righteousness, God's justice, meant that when he confronted human sin, he couldn't simply look the other way.
He couldn't just shrug his divine shoulders and pretend that sin didn't exist. A righteous God has to punish sin, or he isn't righteous. God's very being demands justice, and divine justice calls for eternal suffering in hell. In contemplating God's righteousness, Luther wrote, "I did not love, indeed I hated, this just God who punished sinners. But then one day, and we don't know exactly what day it was, as he was preparing for a course he was teaching at the university, Luther was struck by St. Paul's words in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. Luther later wrote about this turning point, saying, it seemed to me as if I had been born again, and as if I had entered paradise through newly opened doors. All at once, the Bible began to speak in quite a different way to me. The very phrase, the righteousness of God, which I had hated before, was the one that I now loved best of all. That is how this passage of St. Paul became for me the gateway to paradise. The key to Luther's new understanding of the gospel was his recognition of what the scriptures mean when they speak of God's righteousness or God's justice. This understanding is right at the center of the epistle reading appointed for the festival of the Reformation. As the text begins, St. Paul reflects the kind of knowledge of sin which so terrified Luther. Whether you are as powerfully and immediately aware of it as Luther was or not, the truth is that you and I are, each and every one of us, in bondage to sin. It is a bondage from which you cannot free yourself. You sin by what you do. You sin by what you say. You sin by what you think. And you sin also by the things you must think or say or do, but don't. Each and every day you prove again that you are a sinner. And there's nothing that you can do to change that verdict. If you were perfect from today on, that wouldn't take care of yesterday and all those other yesterdays before. Like a prisoner before the judge, who has been shown absolute and irrefutable evidence of his guilt, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, you can say to excuse yourself or to explain away your guilt. As St. Paul writes in today's text, the law stops every mouth, because by works of the law, no human being will be justified in God's sight. You justly deserve God's anger. You have earned the punishment of death and hell. We all do well to fear God's righteous wrath, for the scriptures teach our God is a consuming fire. But, St. Paul writes, but now at the present time, now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Beginning with these words in tightly reasoned sentences, St. Paul lays out the glorious gospel of God's justification of sinners by grace, through faith, because of Christ. human sin had earned death and hell. In his righteousness, God could not ignore sin. But in his great love, he didn't want to punish sinners. So instead, he put forward his son, his only son, Jesus, whom he loved, to be a propitiating sacrifice. That is, a sacrifice which would pay the price justice required and would thereby provide the basis for God forgiving sinners. This was to show God's righteousness, Paul writes, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. With these words, St. Paul points us back to the Old Testament. Consider, for instance, what happened to David when he committed adultery and murder. David himself pronounced the sentence justice demanded. "As the Lord lives," he said, "the man who has done this deserves to die." Yet when David repented, the prophet Nathan assured him, "The Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die." How could a God who is just do that? How could he put away sin and waive punishment for David? The answer, Paul explains, for David and for every sinner before Christ, is that God was exercising forbearance, allowing additional time before the debt had to be paid. Then, in Paul's lifetime, the Son of God himself came to pay in full the debt of a whole world of sinners. In this way, God has satisfied the demand of justice that every sin be punished in full. By his innocent suffering and death, Jesus has taken care of that debt. But God has also been the justifier of sinners, the one through whom sinners are declared innocent, righteous in his sight. Not for their own sake, because of what they've done, but all because of Jesus, what he did. As Luther came to understand, God's righteousness is not simply his ethical uprightness. In Jesus Christ, through his life of perfect obedience, his innocent suffering and death, and his victorious resurrection, in Jesus Christ, God's righteousness is also the precious gift of redemption, which he gives freely to all who trust his Son. As Paul describes it, it's not a matter of what you do. It's not a matter of works. No, it simply is faith. Faith which God himself creates in your heart through his word and in holy baptism. God tells you that he loves you. God tells you that he has given his Son to suffer sin's punishment for you. God tells you that for Jesus' sake, forgiveness, life, and salvation are yours. These gracious words describing all that God has done to redeem you create faith, trust, confidence that everything that he has said is indeed true. That he does love you, that he has given his Son to die for you, that for Jesus' sake, life and salvation are yours. In short, that you are saved by God's grace through the faith that he gives you because of what Christ has done. There's nothing left to be done for your salvation. Nothing you need to add. Indeed, nothing you can add. Because it's a historic event accomplished 2,000 years ago. And today its benefits have come to you again. As at Christ's command, I proclaim to you, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You can be certain, because it was by God's command that I spoke, that these words are just as valid and certain, even in heaven, as if Christ, your dear Lord, dealt with you himself. God's righteousness comes to you as well through the reading and proclamation of God's word, a blessedly redundant giving of forgiveness that God continually provides to you and me because we continually sin. The eternal gospel, intended for all who dwell on the earth, for every nation and tribe and language and people, doesn't change. It doesn't go out of date. The blessed truth is that God justifies the one who has faith in Jesus, the one who trusts it, who depends on Jesus' blood and righteousness for acceptance before God. The Son has set you free, and so you are free indeed. For Christ's sake, you are justified by faith, apart from works of the law. And to assure you of this, so that you may receive forgiveness from God and take it to heart, Jesus provides you with the very price he paid for your redemption, his own body and his blood, once given and shed for you, now placed in your mouth and flowing down your throat, uniting you with him, forgiving you your sins, strengthening you in the faith, and blessing you to be a child of God and an heir of heaven. Thank God for this precious gift. And thank God that through Martin Luther, he restored this understanding to its central place in the church and caused it to again be boldly and clearly proclaimed. The gospel is truly a precious treasure that God's righteousness justifies sinners, that God's righteousness in Christ has justified you, declared you holy and without sin. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.